The Gospel from St. Mark can be found on page 1018 in the Church Bibles, or page 1799 in the large print version. Hear the Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark, chapter 12, beginning at verse 41.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins, worth only a fraction of a penny. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, "I tell you the truth, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on. Glory to you, O Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. And do have your Bibles open, please, if you like to follow. It may help you on page 1018, Mark chapter 12. Let me pray for us. Lord, you see our hearts. Indeed, you see our giving. You know how we use our time, our money. And we ask that your word would remind us of our responsibility to honor you with all we have. For Jesus' sake, amen. My maternal and paternal grandparents both were keen gardeners, and one of my grandparents had a very careful compost system. They're both pretty careful in their different gardens, different parts of the country, but one of the grannies was very particular about her system for doing the compost. And I remember noticing that it looks like piles of leaves and herbaceous cuttings and other bits of garden, in fact, it was rubbish, and yet we know that as the vegetation rots and the grass cuttings rot, very often you find some of the most beautiful flowers grow on compost heaps, because of course the seeds go in, and as the earth is created, so the warmth means that suddenly there are all sorts of things coming from the compost heap, which are very beautiful, perhaps an unlikely setting to find such beauty. Well, here in Mark's Gospel, the setting for this beautiful story is really like a compost heap, a stinking mess to some, because it wasn't a very attractive thing, because this is happening at the temple, and the temple was a place which should have been honouring to God. But verse 40, Jesus says about the church leaders, they devour widows' houses and for show make lengthy prayers. Such men will be punished most severely. They've forgotten that they were there to serve the people of God, be a light to the nations of the world. We remind, aren't we, that money can be so good, and yet so deceitful, is neutral in itself. And I want to talk about true sacrifice this morning. And first, I observe that true sacrifice is done before Jesus rather than before men. verse 41, there's an audience. And the person who is watching and listening is Jesus. I heard a friend of mine who's actually a farmer but ordained, who was up in London this last week, and Kim and I went to hear him speak. He's memorized Mark's Gospel, and he acts it out dramatically. And funny, as I heard it, and the way the story develops, suddenly struck me, because I knew I was preaching on this passage this coming Sunday, suddenly struck me that actually Jesus was the one who watched the crowd. He was watching what was going on. Are you a people watcher? It's quite a fun way to train, isn't it? Try and work out where people are going or where they're from, and try and work out what their different languages mean or where they come from. And airports are exactly the same. Well, our people watching is often quite sort of relaxed and just for interest. But Jesus had a much deeper interest. He was concerned for the hearts of men and women. He was watching those going in and out of the temple. Now, the temple had upside down, as it were, trumpets for the offerings. So it's like a trumpet on the ground with the mouthpiece at the top and the rounder, bigger bit at the other end resting on the floor. And these trumpets, they're called, were big. There were a whole series of them. And so people would come in and they put their offerings into these trumpet-shaped receptacles. And the word putting, you watch them putting, actually the word means in the Greek, throwing. They throw things in. And you can imagine the ostentation. Somebody would fill out a special form, perhaps, let's bring it up to date, using his Palestine Express credit card. Others would write huge charity checks with, of course, a gift aid box ticked. Others would drop in a great weight of shekels. And yet Jesus notices, verse 42, this woman, a poor widow, and she put in two very small copper coins worth only a fraction of a penny. It's a bit like sort of 2 20-pence pieces dropping in to one of those trumpet receptacles. And yet Jesus noticed. He sees our hearts. He knows us as we are. Hensley Henson, who was a great Bishop of Durham, who died many years ago, used to say, you can tell what a man believes by the stubs on his checkbook. Probably don't pay with checks nowadays, but that's interesting, isn't it? You know, what we do with our money shows who we are. And Jesus sees the true sacrifice of this woman. And it's interesting to think, isn't it, the Lord Jesus Christ watches our bank balances. He knows what we spend our money on. Can I be personal? What comes at the top of your budget? Is it the holiday? Is it the redecoration of a house? Some other project you've got? Or does the work of the kingdom, Christ's church, does it drop to the bottom? That's not where it should be. Christ's kingdom is overarching. And when we come to sort out our giving, our budgets, we need to make sure that we've taken that into account. The Lord's not interested just in our praying, our singing, and our learning. He's also interested in how we use our money. True sacrifice is done before Jesus rather than before men. Have you sorted out your giving? Second, true sacrifice is measured by what we keep rather than by what we give. Calling, verse 43, his disciples to him, Jesus said, I tell you the truth, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. You say, how can that be? What does Jesus mean? Surely, Jesus, your maths is wrong. Let's imagine Jane, our treasurer, is very efficient, as John Edgell was before, and perhaps you're used to looking at Excel spreadsheets to work out the money's ins and outs. Well, on the Lord Jesus' Excel spreadsheet, £1,000 can be not much for some, whereas £2, seemingly little, is in reality a lot. You see, Jesus' perspective is different to the world's view. It's worth asking ourselves, do we feel the pinch of giving ourselves? Is it a sacrifice? Can I say we endeavour to keep costs down here in the parish? We try and be very careful. We try and have excellence without extravagance to make sure things work, but not ever to waste money. That's why we're careful about the heating. I hope you're glad it's on this morning when you came into church. But we do try and be careful. And if you've got queries and questions, do ask somebody like Jane or somebody else in the PCC, because we look at the money very carefully and what we're spending our money on. But the church's work is a bit like a home. And in a home, whether you rent or you bought your own home, you have to budget, don't you, for the heating, to make sure that you keep the garden under control, these vital things you need to do. And the same is true of the body of Christ. We need to make sure that we're doing the things we need to do to keep things not just ticking along, but doing their best. £1,000 can be not much. £2 can be a lot. It all depends on your circumstances. I know that there's some people here, perhaps you're married to somebody who isn't a Christian, and you don't work yourself. And of course, it's very hard to give if your husband's an unbeliever. But actually, most of us are not in that position. A friend told me about a Christian visiting South Korea, and he was with another church leader, and there's two men dragging a plow, a father and the son. It looked very hard work. There's no cow to assist. But these men, the other pastor said to my friend, these men had a cow, but sold it to give to the gospel work in this area. And the friend went on to my friend and said, and now they thank God they had a cow to sell. It's an amazing perspective, isn't it, from a different culture. That true sacrifice will come not just from income, sometimes from assets as well. The Lord says in the Psalms that he owns a cattle on 1,000 hills. And if you like, the money is there to do the work of the kingdom. The problem is, it so often sits in our pockets or our bank accounts. True sacrifice is done before Jesus rather than before men. True sacrifice is measured by what we keep rather than by what we give. Then third and finally, true sacrifice trusts God rather than money. I find this story very challenging. Verse 44, they all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on. It's not because it's better to give and receive, or even because the gospel meets man and women's greatest needs. No, with the Lord as our focus, we realize we can give more because we trust in him. And what amazes me in this story, and it's a deep challenge to me as well to you, is that this widow gave all away. It was, as the gospel records, all that she had to live on. When we give all we have away, we can no longer trust in what we have. Rather, our giving is an act of devotion and dependence on God. Our true security should not be in our bank balance, our share portfolio, but in the Lord. And the issue for me and for you is, where is my treasure? Where is my trust? Because God wants our hearts, not our cash. When our money is taken away, we know that we cannot trust it, it is the Lord to trust. Later we're going to take bread and wine here. It's worth thinking about man in the temple watching people come in and drop money into those trumpet receptacles. But what's going to happen to him? He's going to be nailed to a cross, which bread and wine reminds us of today, for us, to bring us salvation. And we respond in gratitude. I read a story, I'm going to end with this, by a man called Alan Redpath. And he puts it like this. A certain Christian once said to a friend, "Our church costs too much. They're always asking for money." Her friend replied in this fashion. "Some time ago, a little boy was born in our home. He cost a lot of money at the very beginning. He had a big appetite. He needed clothes, medicine, toys, and even a puppy. Then he went to school. That cost us a lot more. Later, he went to university, and that cost a small fortune. But his last year at university, he died. And since the funeral, he hasn't cost us a penny." Now, which situation do you think we'd rather have? And after a significant pause, the friend continued, "As long as this church lives, it will cost. When it dies, it won't cost us anything. A living church has the most vital message for all the world today. And therefore, I'm going to give and pray with everything I have to help keep our church a living church and the kingdom of God growing." Please ponder and pray how you should respond. Speak to Andrew, speak to Jane, speak to Richard about your giving. Amen.